Direct from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
Did you come looking for the girl next door? Well, she don't live here anymore. She's got money for her pocket, a Bible for her soul, gas in the tank and a wide open road. Why she don't work 9 to 5 is your best guess. That's just what happens when girl needs wet. Someday she'll motor to your hometown, tune up her 6-string, throw some music down. Songs like bullets that will pierce your pain, make you feel all back in the saddle again. If you start feeling clammy or shortness of breath, she's put you into cowboy cardiac arrest. Boy meets girl, girl meets guitar. Pretty soon she's swinging on a Dale Evans star. Started singing for the money, stayed in for the fun. She'll just hit her ignore and take a sharp turn left. That's just what happens when girl meets wet. You know what, Lubbock, Prescott, and Campman and Elko. She'll go to Lewistown, Alpine, Heber, and Durango. Grab a hot dog and a rock star on her way through Mesquite. 'Cause every girl knows you are what you eat. Any place folks talk cowboy is her new address.
West, that is Mary Kay Holt to kick things off for this Thursday on the Campfire Cafe, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. I am your host, Gary Holt. Been feeling like fall here in Nashville this week, and such a relief from the 90-plus degree weather we had just over a week ago. But I can feel fall in the air. There are some leaves that are turning colors. There are a few that are dropping, and so we're getting ready for what will prove to be an absolutely gorgeous fall here in Middle Tennessee and East Tennessee. Can't say anything about West Tennessee. I'm not sure what's going to happen down in Memphis, but it's going to be really pretty here in Middle Tennessee and up in the east part of the state. We have a fantastic, fantastic show today lined up for you today. On the Campfire Cafe, we are so excited to have our good friend, Ms. Sarah Pierce, join us. We're going to be sharing music from her latest album, Blessed by the West. And then coming up in the second hour on Saddle Up America, we'll be joined by Randy Rasmussen, the Director of Public Lands and Recreation with Backcountry Horsemen of America. And our good friend, Mr. Dale Shields, who is the host of Best of America by Horseback, is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about the fact that they're getting ready to celebrate 20 years on RFD television. So it all starts here on the Campfire Cafe with Sarah Pierce, followed by Saddle Up America. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Sarah, but take a moment to take a listen to this, and then we'll be right back on the Campfire Cafe. This is Gary Holt inviting you to find our great sponsors on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Those are the sponsors you'll find in the general store, our Legacy Select horse campgrounds and guest ranches east of Santa Fe, and our Legacy Select equestrian properties. You'll find all of these sponsors on our website at equestrianlegacy.net.
And rode those cattle bronze from Grinnell, Gibson, the Carroll, Blanchett, Berry, Steele, and more. Those women rode for a living, not just for the best score. Most girls like riding slick without their boots and stirrups tied up. Back then they had to ride hobble at the Pendleton Roundup. The Pendletons, where McCarroll drew that bronc tall black cat. That mean spirited horse made sure that ride was her last. Ooh, Rusta, chasing the rodeo dream, looking for a second flag, knowing that any ride could be their last. Rusta rodeo world, there's a few understood rules. No limping, swearing, backing down. Let the boys say pain is cruel. No matter how broken the bones, the gals stood up on their own, then smiled and waved to the crowd, so no one would know. That buck in the shoe would let her know he's ready to go when he can. Her butt back in the saddle, cinch tight, bull rope in her hand. With a nod, it's just her and him. In a few short seconds, she'll catch his rhythm. If not, she'll lose the win. Ooh, a star, chasing the rodeo dream, looking for a second flag, knowing that any ride could be there. Those gals always had to bring more to the table than any man. So they lived hard, played the game. Every ride they were put to the test, still grateful for living their lives while doing what they did best.
Ooh, a star, chasing the rodeo dream, looking for a second flag, knowing that any ride could be their last. Chasing the rodeo dream, looking for a second.
Well, Sarah Pierce is the daughter of a cowboy raised in the family of cattlemen, born in Rockford, Illinois, and raised in rural West Texas. Sarah's toured hundreds of thousands of miles, both domestically and foreign. She has received rave reviews wherever she goes. And interestingly, she was on MTV, and I think I read something, Sarah, about a TV movie that your music was in. Am I correct?
Actually, my music wasn't in. John McEwen was involved in one of the History Channel, one of those the Western part of the History Channel, and he called me in to do the voice of Calamity Jane. So
that's even better.
It was interesting.
That's even better. Yeah.
Had the old piano out of tune. It was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Well, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, my friend.
It's good to talk to you.
Well, it is good to talk to you.
A little while.
And it is. And, you know, Sarah is one of my favorite guests. She's been on both Live from Nashville and the Campfire Cafe. She's such a talented young lady. But we're excited today to be sharing music from a brand new album called Blessed by the West. Yeah. So
I know,
tell us
amazing.
A little bit about this.
I never thought it was.
Well, it is amazing.
It's been a while.
It is amazing.
Forever.
It is amazing. Yeah. But tell us about the album. I mean, you've got a lot of our friends are performing with you on this album.
How did this all come about?
Yeah, how did this all come about?
After Barbwire, about 2 years, 3 years, it takes me a long time to do a record. I had actually written 12 songs and planned on recording about, I guess it was 2018 or 19. And we looked at the songs and we're going to record them. And then we went, no, this isn't it. And so then I started over. And Blessed by the West was actually the last song on that record. That record is going to be called I Want to Go Home. And Blessed by the West just came to me. We were already almost through the basic tracks of all the other songs. And so I had to hurry. But it just came to me, and I thought, God, I've got to get this on that record. So I called Randy Palmer, who is a wonderful singer-songwriter, and said,
"Good friend,
I need some help." And we wrote that song in 3 weeks by email, you know, just files back and forth because he's in Amarillo.
Oh, wow.
And then we changed the title, and there you go. And, yes, I'm blessed that people went ahead. I didn't know. The first person I think I asked to play on the record might have been John Chandler. And he was like, sure.
Okay.
I was like, really? And then I called Doug Figg, and I'm like, would you sing on a song? And he's like, absolutely. So this wonderful family that we've met over the past few years with the IWMA and all of the Western artists, everybody was wonderful. Mickey Furman drove down to Texas to sing her parts. I was like, are
How
you serious?
That?
Well, she does have How a daughter that? Here. So that gave me a little. So she
that helps
visit.
A little bit.
But yeah, it's just,
Guess who I waved at this morning? Guess who I waved at this morning about 8:30. I waved at Mickey Furman. I waved at Mickey Furman. She had come by to pick up Mary Kay. They're headed to Missouri to perform tonight, and then on Saturday night they're performing in Kansas. But Mickey's such a super girl. Yeah, and then she hollered at me. She hollered at me and she said, "I'm sorry, I don't have any meatballs this time." So we had a little get together at her place about a month ago, I guess, and she had some great meatballs that she had done, and I was going to bring some home, and there weren't any, and so like a week later, she comes over to the house and she has a whole container full of meatballs just for me to enjoy. Yeah,
she's such a talented
people and fine people that we have in this Western music world. We really do.
We're blessed by that, no doubt.
Yeah. Blessed by the West, as a matter of fact, is the song that we're going to get to right now, the title cut from the album. And we're going to come back and talk more with Sarah Pierce today on Campfire Cafe. We'll be right back.
Mustang roamed the valley, pounding out her freedom song. Her red tail ride the thermals as they hunt in early dawn. She allows our cattle to graze her grassy plain, while her keystone keep the balance of her open range. She can paint a picture with a silver mackerel sky. She'll run her brush through the frame and draw a mountain high. She can sketch an arroyo filled with desert blue and dazzle you with stars shine underneath a full blue moon. She's a beauty, she'll take your breath away. From the Tetons past the Rockies to where the Sierra Nevada lay. A place where together with our ponies we are home. And cowboys and cowgirls know deep in our souls that we'll never tame her, we'll be forever possessed and thankful for being blessed by the West. In her painted desert we dread the Habuks may start blowing. In her majestic mountains our fate is hers for the calling. She carves a name into our hearts, holds us in her arms, and with grace she tells us who we are. She's a beauty, she'll take your breath away. From the Tetons past the Rockies to where the Sierra Nevada lay. A place where together with our ponies we are whole. And cowboys and cowgirls know deep in our souls that we'll never tame, we'll be forever possessed and thankful for being blessed by the West. 15 hands above the ground, we watch the horizon hold the sunset. Crafted by the hands of God, this place we call the breath away. From the Tetons past the Rockies to where the Sierra Nevada lay. A place where together with our ponies we are whole. And cowboys and cowgirls know deep in our souls that we'll never tame, we'll be forever possessed and thankful for being blessed by the West. We're thankful for being blessed by the West. Thankful for being blessed by the West.
Blessed by the West. Blessed by the West. The title cut from the album. We're talking with Sarah Pierce today on the Campfire Cafe. And 2 years ago, I think it was in November, I attended the International Western Music Association convention in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And they were doing some showcases, and this really cute blonde was performing in one of those showcases with her husband, who was playing percussion barefooted. And I thought, well, that's unusual. But such a talented, talented girl. And that was your first time with the IWMA, and I think Randy Palmer came with you, maybe Joel White. And yeah, so how did you guys get connected with IWMA?
I think it seems so long ago. I feel like I've been there forever. But I believe that the first introduction was Bob Marshall.
Really?
And then, yeah, Merle did some of his records. And then as Merle did more records, we met Jim Jones and that kind of, you know, Jim is so wonderful. And he just kind of slid us in there. And and I'm so grateful. But, boy, he has a great record out. Jeez.
He does.
The storyteller.
He does have.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, there's so many talented people in this Western music world. And it's kind of interesting, Sarah, to me, to watch how things are progressing. And, of course, being here in Nashville, we have a little bit of a different world with the country music, the bluegrass, and that type of thing. But it seems like some of that is kind of starting to transition over into the Western music world. And by that, I mean that for a long, long time, Western music people would send out a whole album, okay? And the country people were starting to send out singles. And now today... Mm-hmm. Western music people are starting to do singles. And you've got a single. Doug Figs just sent out a couple of singles. Everybody's starting to do
really
singles.
Yeah, really good.
What is the change? What's the cause of the change?
I don't know. My mindset, well, mine with this was, I'm hooked up with Adam Dawson for... publicist and radio, and that's how he does it. And I've had a bunch of different radio promoters over the years, and I've kind of done what they wanted to do, and it did vary. Now, you're right. It's changing so much in the international Western music vein there, just Western music in general. I mean, Joel White has released two or three singles, maybe four.
Yeah.
Because I know he's over at the house because Merle records him, and he's over there every couple months. I don't know. In fact, I emailed Doug Figs and said, hey, is this the start of a new record or what? And I haven't heard back yet. But it is starting to happen. And I don't know, do the Western DJs like the singles? Does it matter?
Well, here's my take on that. When I get an album, I have to listen to the whole album or pieces of it, because I can listen to about 30 seconds and tell whether the song's any good or not. I think everybody is probably different, but I do like to get a single because that's kind of where you're putting your focus, and so that's what you can put out on the air, okay?
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of a good way to do it. Plus the fact that people are producing fewer CDs today. They're actually producing fewer albums, you know. And so I think all of that kind of goes in together. I don't know about you. I'm not sure how your CD sales go, but I would expect most of the CD sales are done like other people's, and that is at a live concert. Not so much.
Most of them are.
Order.
And, you know, the thing I've run into with this one, and I didn't, I'm never up on what's going on. People now, they buy the CD and they say, I'm going to have to go buy a CD player. I'm like, what? I just ordered a bunch of those USB cards because I didn't know.
Okay.
Even my truck does not have a CD player. The first day I had it, I'm trying to shove that CD somewhere. I'm like, what is going on around here? How can there be no CD player? I'm old enough to remember when CDs started. John McEwen called Merle and said, hey, there's going to be this new thing. It's a CD, and I think we should get into it. I remember that. Uh-huh. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Goodbye, cassettes.
And now they're kind
of
fading out. So I feel like I have to, you know, go by Best Buy before the record release party and hand people one of those funny little CD players so they can buy the record.
Hey, guess what? Yeah. Guess what? That's funny because Mary Kay has started buying these portable CD players from Amazon, okay? And so now she is selling She is selling the portable CD player with four of her albums. And
hey,
people are eating those things up because now they have
brilliant.
Something to play. Yeah, you know, you can plug the thing into your car. You can plug it up in the house. You know, all kinds. It's Bluetooth powered, all kinds of. She's such
good
a smart
her.
Girl sometimes.
She's
yeah, don't tell her I said
smart
this. She's
girl.
So smart. Yeah, she's
and she's
smart.
So talented.
Hey,
it's just overwhelming.
Thank you. But I want to get some more music because the album is great. And this song is the one that you just said almost was the title cut for the album. This is called I Want to Go Home. Tell us about this song.
I like this song, and I usually rip my songs apart and find everything wrong with them, but I wrote this about the land that we live on, and we love our land, we love our trees, we love our livestock and all the critters that go with it, and it means the world to me to be able to, keep up and try and nurture the land, especially, it's been a rough couple of years, it's been hot, the oak trees are looking tired, and I just feel like it's our job to do this. That's what ranching is about, is caring for the land, and of course your cattle. But So when I go through the gate every night, there's a deep breath, and this is why I do what I do during the day. And it's a song saying, thank you.
Well, it is a great song. This is I Want to Go Home. It's from the album Blessed by the West. We'll be back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
There's a place, there's nowhere like it, I swear. It's the open range, and it's waiting there. It's a lone star up above an old live oak. That tree's seen it all, and she still has hope. I wanna go home. Dig my boots in the red dirt where the rising sun. Wake a dormant place in my soul. I wanna go home. Where my saddle is my church and a long ride confession is the only way I know. I wanna go home. There's a way there, it's land, it's weather, it's tradition, holding the West together. It's your word, it's a handshake, that's all it takes. Out there you are the man or woman you made. I wanna go home. Dig my boots in the red dirt where the rising sun. Wake a dormant place in my soul. I wanna go home. Where my saddle is my church and a long ride confession is the only way I know. I wanna go home. Reaching up to God. It's the Rio Grande tucking us in on the southern side. It's the people sweating out their dreams to keep this way of life alive. I want
Hi, this is Mary Kay Holt inviting you to the Girl Meets West Women's Retreat held this coming December 5th through 8th at the Slot Canyons Inn in Escalante, Utah. Such a beautiful part of the world that you have got to see. Our theme is A Heart of Peace, and this women's retreat is truly a retreat from the cares of the world and will feature laughter, workshops, shopping, sightseeing, and music. I still have some rooms available and am excited to see who will fill those spots. Reach out to me at marykholt@yahoo.com for more information. Ta-ta for now.
And you can go to our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and in the menu bar, just click on Girl Meets West and find out more about the retreat right there. So this is such a good album, such a good album. And I love that I Want to Go Home. That is
Thank
a tremendous you. Song. That is a tremendous song. What is your songwriting process like, Sarah? You were talking about emailing back and forth with Randy, but what's your songwriting process like?
No, I still sit at that same table with that same piece of barbed wire and just put the legal pad in front of me and see if something comes. I always say that, you know, I think my Alvarez guitar has written all the songs. I think that they're inside her because I don't know where they come from. And I hear the words to songs I wrote years ago and go, how did I even think of that? I think it was the guitar. As far as co-writing, it can be tough. I think I'm just not real good at it. Writing with somebody like Randy Palmer, who's the sweetest person in the universe, you know, that's easier. The song I wrote with Sissy Camacho, she's not a songwriter. She's a cowgirl. And I said, you know what? I want us to write a song. So send me a bunch of lines. What are cowgirls about? Just tell me what you think. And so we put it together from there. And then, of course, I wrote a song on this one with Jim Jones. Again, nice person. You can be stupid in front of him and not feel like an idiot. And that means a lot to me. Some people you just, you know, you can't read. And it makes it a little bit tougher. But I've been very lucky with co-writes. I'm writing with Andy Renfrey right now. And you know, she's, just, again, just a wonderful person to write with. I'm also writing a song right now with Joel White, which is a little bit different because, you know, it's a personality thing. It's an age
thing.
Think
so.
Sometimes, you know, you'll say a line, and he goes, what does that mean? And I do the same thing to him. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, way back. And I'm like, okay, well, it's not way back right now. So, but anyway, I'm honored. It's an honor to write with people that are so talented.
So when you're co-writing, and it's interesting because, again, here in Nashville, we've got a lot of songwriters that they just sit down every day. They have a writing appointments at like 9 o'clock, and they will be writing with this person or two or three, which mm-hmm. is amazing to me that you can have three different or four different people writing on a song. But they'll do that for a couple hours, and then later on in the afternoon, they've got appointments to go somewhere else and do co-writes with someone else.
And that song's done.
And that's it. And that amazes me. I know when Mary Kay and I were dating, we had not gotten married yet, but she had come to Nashville, and I set up appointments with a couple of folks for her to write one day. And she was writing with Wood Newton. Wood has written all kinds of hits, you know.
Yeah.
And we were sitting in Chet Atkins' office, you know, that's the magic room or whatever they call that thing. And I sat there and I listened to them, and in, you know, an hour and a half, they had completely written this great song.
Is that crazy?
And I was like amazed. I'm amazed.
I am too.
So does it go that fast for you, or when you're co-writing, you know, is it a process that takes days, weeks, you know, how's,
some
what's
of
it like?
Them take, I mean, I've written a song in a day or so, and then it's taken me 6 months on something else. So it really just depends on how things come to me. I used to come up to Nashville and write and had appointments. And it's, you know, every once in a while it would click, and sometimes you just sat there and stared at each other and there was just nothing. So it takes those guys that do that, you know, that sign in and you're going to write a song for Crystal Gayle. I'm showing my age, but, you know, 4 hours later, there's a song for Crystal Gayle and they're taking it to demo it. I think that's amazing that they're so quick. I'm not that quick. Plus, I have to rewrite over and over and and go crazy. So
I got you. Well, you know, the cool thing is it's different for everybody. And, you know, some people, the lyric comes first and the music comes second. And some people, the music comes first, the lyric comes second. And it's just interesting to me to be able to talk to talented, talented people, because I can't even write my name. But it's it's just so interesting to me to talk to such talented people and see how their process is. Dream As Big As Texas is another terrific song on the album.
Thank you.
Blessed By The West.
I never planned on recording it. I wrote it for a man that has been like a dad to me for a long time, and he's wonderful. And so I wrote a song about his story. He's a multimillionaire, but he did it all himself. And that whole song is true. He got to Austin, bought this old three-bay garage, and he was a wrencher, and his partner was the person who does the cosmetic stuff. I don't know what that is. And he went from being that wrencher in that three bay to owning one of the most award-winning Mazda dealerships in the U.S. And he's a mom and pop. I love those stories. He didn't get anything from anybody. And he still does his business with a handshake. I don't think all of it, but he's just one of those old Texan guys the old stuff is still in him, and he runs things like his dad taught him or his mom taught him.
Oh, that's great. Well, this is Dream As Big As Texas. We'll be back and talk more with Sarah Pierce in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe, heard around the world on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio.
He was a West Texas kid, a high school football star, but all he cared about was driving fast cars. When he left that town behind, he took all that he'd saved, bought himself a cheap garage with only three bays. He never forgot his country roots that always pulled him through. He made a name for himself all through the South. You'd see him out on the town every once in a while, sipping fresh and gray goose from a styrofoam cup, dancing the two-step that boy could stir up some sawdust. He never forgot his country roots that always pulled him through. I'm proud to know the man who worked for all to an icon in his trade. He made his dream come true. He made a dream as big as Texas come true. Now you see his name round every other license plate. He still does his business with a handshake. When you see him in person, seems it's always for a cause. From the SPCA to the Pawnee Tonk Fireman's Ball. And he never forgot.
forget his country roots. That always pulls him through. And I'm proud to know the man that works for all he has. From a wrench in a three-car vase to an icon in his trade. And a time he had nothing to lose.
Biggest Texas from the album Blessed by the West. And Sarah, where do you record your music?
Oh, well, you know that. It's at Merle. It's at the Cribord Digital Audio, my husband's studio. Song was recorded in 2012 and we did nothing to it but remaster it. Yeah, I just didn't want to touch it. I wrote that for Roger for a birthday gift. If we're going to put his song on a record, I'm just putting it on. But
That's
everything
great.
At the digital, whatever we are, Cribworks Digital Audio, where as goofy as I'm making it sound, Merle makes some darn good records.
Well, so for folks that are listening around the world, they don't know who Merle is. Tell us about Merle, and this is interesting the way that you guys got connected. So, give us a real quick.
I got it through the quick version. Merle Briganti, and if you look up Merle Briganti, you'll see this guy with a lot of hair who played rock and roll drums with Jim Messina and Kenny Loggins and the Dirt Band, and on and on and on. But Merle had retired, and before I met him. And I got through medical school, and that was kind of my thing. My parents were like, go to school, and then you can play your music, which is, you know, stupid. So graduated, got a job, called my mom and said, hey, who's that guy that taught you up in Boulder about sound? And so she fiddled around and tried to find it, and then she found it, and it was Merle Briganti. So when I was like 13 and 14, just starting to sing in bars with my stepdad's band, my mom would go up to Boulder and take classes on live mixing from Merle, because Merle's, you know, 20 years older than I am. So anyway, when I got out of medical school, I called her and she gave me his name and I tracked him down. And he was in Phoenix. I was in Denver. And I would call him every week, and he would give me the next thing I needed to do. You know, go meet Jim Ratz. Jim has great songs. He knows what to do. Call me back in 10 days, 2 weeks. Tell me what's going on. Well, what happened is we fell in love on the phone. And so by the time I met him, I loved him. I mean, we were, there was no question about it. And so we'd never seen each other. So that was he's like, don't look at any of my album covers. Well, he was 20 years older than me. I didn't even know who some of those bands were. I definitely didn't have their records, but I didn't say anything. But so yeah, we fell in love. We got married. We met like for real. I think in May or something. And then I moved in.
Uh-huh.
I moved to Phoenix, and I moved in with him in the fall of that year. And then finally, I mean, it took forever. We were driving back from a gig one night in January, and I'm like, we should probably get married. And he's like, okay. I said, well, when do you want to do that? He goes, I don't care, whenever. I'm like, okay, let's do it Earth Day because it's such a great day. So we got married on Earth Day, and we've been married We've been married for 34 years.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a great story.
Long time.
Great, great story.
I haven't
story.
Killed him yet.
Great, great story. Well, he probably
well,
be
you
around.
Guys have a great story,
oh,
too.
It's, well, it's very similar. Very similar. Yeah, very similar to yours. And we'll be celebrating 4 years in October. And it just happens that on our anniversary, she's going to be in Denver, Durango, Colorado. So I'm.
Oh, we are too.
Gonna miss
Can
our
we
anniversary.
Go?
Okay, I'm busy. I gotta stay here and keep the fires burning. But I'll miss our anniversary. We'll have to celebrate when she gets back. That's right.
Well, we're gonna
you
be in Durango with her, so
release?
Maybe we'll celebrate. Yeah,
there, there you go.
10,
and it's her birthday too.
Green Hall. Oh.
Yeah. It's her birthday, and then the anniversary is the next day. Well, I may
oh my
think
goodness.
About that. But anyway, Gruen Hall. Tell us about Gruen Hall.
We, you know, Green Hall is, what is
Green
it? This, that's where everybody wants to play. It's the oldest dance hall in Texas. It's supposedly, I think they found some more since then. But, you know, Green is where people get started. George Strait, of course, you know, started out playing at Green Hall. And it's tough. It took me 7 years to get a gig at Green Hall.
Wow.
She's the lady that books it is very, very picky because everybody wants to play at Green Hall. So we were lucky enough, and she has been so good to us. I think I've done every record release there. So I called her for this one. And it's just this big, wonderful dance hall. I mean, it's old, it's cold,
or
it's really hot. and we've invited everybody on the record to come. I think Jim Jones is coming. And, of course, you know, Randy Palmer and everybody, those folks will be there. And we'll see.
Right.
I think it's going to be a little bit crazy, but that's all right.
That is so cool. That is so cool. And the date on that is, again, what?
It's October 27th. It's a Sunday afternoon. You guys should fly down.
October 27th. Well, we may try to do that. We may try to do that.
It'll be fun.
Well, you have been so much fun. Tell everybody how they can find your website and how they can get your music and see where you're going to be performing.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that cool? I've got like 20 gigs in the next few months. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
But,
wow.
So it's sarahpierce.com, sarahpierce.com. And I think everything's there. Everything's there. Pictures of the horses, the goats. Yeah, what it's like.
Well, go to the
there.
Website. Go to the website. Find out where she's performing. Get out there and see her if you can. And as always, we encourage people to place your orders right from the website. That way, that is a much needed thing for performers today to be able to make more money from selling their music.
Yeah, on our site, we've got it kind of hooked up where if you go down that first page, you're going to find most of the Western artists and a link to, I do a news thing, so I try and get everybody's name in. So, you know, if you're interested in these people, you know, click on Mary Kay Holt and all that, and you'll learn more about her and Figs and everybody else.
That is so great. That is so great. Well, you have been absolutely great. We're going to end this segment of the show today with another song that I absolutely loved. It's called Any Place That's Wild. And who's performing with you on this one?
Well, Merle's singing background.
All right.
Which, you know, he doesn't do all the – well, he does all the time, but usually it's not just him. But he did this one by himself. You know, and he's a great background singer. This song is one of, I think it's the only song, right, that I didn't write. Yeah. This is written by Willie Braun. And I always do a Willie Braun song on one of my records. Always. It's become kind of just a superstitious thing. Cody Braun brought this to us when he was playing fiddle on the record. But let's see this. I wish I could remember who played on it because it's terrible that I can't. Except John Chandler's doing the harp. And then, of course, the Steels, Dave Pearlman, who's, you know, wonderful L.A. Steel player, just fabulous. And Mike, you know, the whole crew.
Well, it's another great song, and again, it's from the album Blessed by the West. Sarah, you have been great. Look forward to seeing you in the next month or two. Thanks for being with us today.
Look forward to seeing you, too. Right. Give my love to Mary Kay.
I will do it. All right, we'll see you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
I was gonna be your cowgirl. You were gonna be my man. We were gonna tame the Wild West together. We had the whole world.
Far away, baby, any place is wild.
This is Gary Holt inviting you to find our great sponsors on our website at EquestrianLegacy.net. Those are the sponsors you'll find in the general store, our Legacy Select, Horse Campgrounds and Guest Ranches, east of Santa Fe, and our Legacy Select, Equestrian Properties. You'll find all of these sponsors on our website at EquestrianLegacy.net. Well, when we come back, it's going to be time for Saddle Up America. We'll be joined by Mr. Randy Rasmussen, Director of Public Lands and Recreation with Backcountry Horsemen of America. We'll be right back.
I'm glad to be anywhere, but there's a place I like the best. On the chilly side, paradise in the great and grand old west. And I'm a lucky boy, that's where I'm from. And that's where you can find me when it's all said and done. Yes, and I've seen the green of Tennessee, the colored lights of a New York night. Stood in a red sunset on the beach in Texas in the moonlight. But nothing sets my spirit free, and no other color can do. Like the winds of old Wyoming and Colorado blue. See them old Rockies rising straight up through the cool blue air. Sip that cold wild water running down to make you feel like a grizzly bear. And at sundown I sit and watch them gleam. Comes close to glory, not even in a dream. One night by the campfire light, we cooked up some rainbow trout. But she left me down around Pagosa Springs with a hook still in my mouth. I remember the mountains ride. And girl there with the sun in her hair and Colorado blue in her eyes. Yes, and when I'm away from my native state and the dreams ain't coming true, when lost and lonesome is my fate and it looks like I'm bound to lose, it's a homesickness, it's sorry face, a thrashing in his own juice. Well, you can call that skinny cowpoke at the end of the bar Colorado blue. Just call that skinny cowpoke at the end of the bar Colorado blue.
Welcome back to Saddle Up America. That's Mr. Gary McMahon with Colorado Blue. And please welcome to the show our good friend, Mr. Randy Rasmussen. Hey, Randy.
Hello, Gary. How are you doing? It's been so long.
I know. We've had technical problems in the past, and I don't know what's been going on. But anyway, glad to have you back. You guys have been with us now for, I think, probably close to 11 years or a little bit longer. And that always
right.
great to have back Best of America, not Best of America, Backcountry Horsemen of America with us. And, yeah, we started out with Mr. Jim McGarvey, who at that time was the chairman and then became the executive director. And then you just filled right in beautifully with Jim. But good to have you
yeah,
with
no.
us. Good to have you.
Jim was is a great leader. Jim's a wonderful person. Jim McGarvey is just near and dear to my heart.
Well, he is to both of us. And, yeah, we wish Jim the best down there in Georgia. And but tell us a little bit about what we're celebrating. This is the 60th year of what?
This is the 60th anniversary, just 2 days ago, Tuesday, of the Wilderness Act that Congress passed on September 3rd, 1964. And,
wow.
You know, this is something that is, again, near and dear to the hearts of backcountry horsemen and women, is that the Wilderness Act is the place where we can renew ourselves and get into, you know, the deep backcountry, the wilderness. With a capital W, because wilderness, as we're talking about it here, is, well, first of all, it's a European construct, but, you know, in the U.S., wilderness can only be designated by Congress. So it takes a formal act of Congress and the president to sign off. And there are states in the U.S. that have their own kind of separate wilderness bills and wilderness areas, but I'm talking about the big federal wilderness. And the big landscapes that we all know and love, like the Bob Marshall, you know, wilderness in Montana, and the hundreds of wilderness areas. I could throw some trivia at you, or maybe some questions to see about, you know, what you know, Gary, about wilderness.
I won't feel too bad since you had to look it up. So go ahead.
Some of it. Yeah. Okay. So 1964, right. And you recall who the president was at that time then, right?
1964 would have been, Kennedy or was it after Kennedy? It was after Kennedy.
Unfortunately, yeah. So LBJ
post-Kennedy.
Was president. Yep, Lyndon
okay.
Baines Johnson
yeah, that's,
signed the
yeah,
Wilderness Act.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking.
And when he signed the Wilderness Act, and it took 8 years to get that bill through Congress.
A
lot of, you know, wonderful work from so many people. But when LBJ signed the Wilderness Bill, they had a big reception in the Rose Garden and whatnot, and he made it really clear for all those who love our great American outdoors and talking about protecting our wildlife and conserving our precious water resources, you know, he helped establish into law then this enduring resource of what we call wilderness today, 60 years later. And at the time, they only designated 9 million acres of wilderness. And that was just National Forest Service land. And so for perspective, the U.S. land base, I won't quiz you on this one because it's one I didn't realize too. The U.S. land base is about 2 billion with a B, billion acres.
Okay.
So, you know, and, you know, certainly less, you know, a much smaller fraction of that, less than half, is federal public lands as we know them. But at the time, Wilderness Act was passed, 9 million acres were designated. It was only at the time U.S. Forest Service lands. But since that time, in those 60 years that have transpired since then, today the wilderness area or acreage has grown from 9 million acres to over 111 million acres of wilderness.
Wow.
Comprising of 806 individual units in 44 states and Puerto Rico. I mean, so there's
goodness.
Only six states we don't have federal wilderness in. That's pretty amazing to think about in the context of that. But even then, only 111 million acres when the U.S. land base is, you know, 2 billion acres. It's certainly, if you don't count Alaska for a second, and I'll tell you why, because that's got a ton of wilderness in it too. But wilderness, in terms of the contiguous United States, is only 2.7% of the land base.
Unreal. Unreal. Unreal.
Yet it's unreal. Just these massive areas that provide, you know, so many ecosystem services and habitat and fisheries and fresh water. And then, of course, important to us, on top of all those things is the recreational experience, the primitive and unconfined type of recreational experience you can have in the wilderness.
So while we're talking about the wilderness area and the Wilderness Act and what that means, and because we have a lot of people that are listening around the world, Randy, let's remind folks again exactly what it is that Backcountry Horseman does in these wilderness areas.
You bet. Thanks for, yeah, we definitely should. Backcountry Horseman of America has been around for 51 years now, and we are a national nonprofit service organization, and service is what our volunteers do. These are people who give, you know, their time, their animals, their resources, their money to make trails, to maintain trails in the backcountry and wilderness, to maintain horse camps so people can bring their horses and explore these public lands in the U.S. that are so wonderful. These people give their all, and it's usually all for free. You know, they might at best get reimbursed for a few miles of gas or diesel, but they have such a passion and have enjoyed America's public lands so much that they have come to a point where they say, I want to give back. I want to give back to my community, and I want to continue to perpetuate this historic way of enjoying and exploring wilderness and the public lands on horseback. And of course, mules are part of that as well. Packing is huge. And so we have, our volunteers have the full gamut from people who will just do light trail maintenance with some nippers and maybe a shovel if they want to get off their saddle, you know, to giant work parties. And they've got people, you know, dragging logs and, you know, that are certified to use chainsaws and are getting big, huge trees, fallen trees out of the trails and, you know, again, maintaining corrals and public, you know, horse camps and things. They're just out there doing it when, particularly in this day and age, the federal agencies just don't have the funding to maintain these important, you know, experiences and places that people can visit. So our folks are filling in, you know, for the love of it and are making a huge difference in the, if you tally it up across the nation, we're in 32 states with over 200 chapters. I think that's roughly 12,000 members, volunteers nationally in the U.S. Their hours, they contribute hundreds of thousands of hours collectively of volunteer, what we call in-kind services. And if you extrapolate that, you put a dollar value on it, what would they pay a Forest Service professional to do the things our folks do for free? It every year is in the millions of dollars in terms of our contribution to trails and access for the American public. And that, of course, is beyond just horse people. Any trail we clear is available for hikers, backpackers, hunters, anglers. I could go on. The point being that the passion is so thick, and for so long our folks have been doing this, we're just known nationally as a huge volunteer group that just gives and gives and gives.
Well, it's absolutely amazing what happens. So if you are a horseback rider and if you've been back out on the trails and have been able to enjoy those trails, then quite often it's thanks to someone with Backcountry Horsemen of America that has been out clearing those trails, because I've been on those trails and trees have been down and it's not any fun to try to go around those things. So when you can enjoy your ride, thank somebody with Backcountry Horsemen of America for that, and better yet, become a member of Backcountry Horsemen and help contribute to this. So, Randy, was there any particular kind of celebration that went along with the celebration for the Trails Act?
Well, there's a number of things. Just last week in South Dakota was a big international wilderness conference that included, you know, that aspect of U.S. wilderness as we know it and a celebration about it. There's many events going on nationally throughout this year in this fall. In fact, in Alabama at the Sissy Wilderness, there's a wilderness gathering, you know, this weekend. So there's lots of things happening at a more of a local scale, I'd say, other than that big international shindig that was just this past week.
Right.
And there's more to come. There's even in Washington, D.C., some celebrations, you know, later this month, too, with a lot of the big kind of what I'll call national wilderness protection groups doing their celebrations, too. But to be clear, you know, Backcountry Horsemen of America is not a conservation group per se. We are a recreation, you know, oriented group, but we find alliances with so many groups and particularly a lot of the wilderness groups because they're trying to promote the same thing that we all love and enjoy.
Well, it's pretty cool. And when you talk about recreation, food kind of goes along with that too. And I keep hearing about all the food that happens with some of these gatherings. Does that ever happen to you? Have you ever eaten any good food while you were out?
Yeah. It's amazing. So again, with our volunteer crews, and these are people who have, you know, some technical skills or a lot of people who don't. Some people can just help with the kitchen setup and the cooking and you know, and camp setup and things like that. But the food is excellent. And even on some of these pack trips where they're packing in food on horses and mules, I have been in the wilderness here in Oregon where we have had steak and shrimp, you know, every night because they can put them in the panniers, they can keep them frozen. And, you know, it's not your typical wilderness experience that you're having to carry it all on your back. If it can be done, and this is, you know, in grand style in many ways, but the food is always excellent at Backcountry Horsemen of Hook, you know, events and activities.
You see, I had no idea that you guys were having steak and shrimp out there on the trail. If I knew that, I might have been out there too. Jeez. Gosh. I wondered why you loved your job so much, Randy. Now I know.
Well, it's the people. You know, again, they give, and that passion just can't be matched. And, you know, if I can do anything just to help that and move that along and support that, then I feel very fulfilled. It's a great job because the people are so wonderful.
Yeah. Real quickly, tell us a little bit about what the Director of Public Lands and Recreation does, because you spend some time in Washington, don't you?
Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, I do, yes. It's one of the curses of a national
job. I wasn't
going to
say that.
No.
But yeah.
I'm always glad to get home, let's say, but no, that serves a purpose. So, yeah, my title is Director for Public Lands and Recreation. Kind of boils down to two things. Partnerships, which is the most critical thing, and not just partnerships with other nonprofit, you know, outdoor recreation and trail organizations, but partnerships with the federal land agencies, be they the Park Service, the U.S. Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, et cetera. Those are critical, you know, to what we do. And so maintaining those partnerships and, quite frankly, friendships and colleagues is great. That's a big part of my role. The other half is on the policy side. So, yeah, the boring stuff, the dry stuff about, you know, promoting certain policies or even laws that we're trying to get bills through Congress that benefit outdoor recreation and public access, and especially for equestrian folks, you know, that's part of it. So that's why I'm in Washington, D.C. a couple times a year with colleagues. And my chairman has been joining me the last several years on Washington, D.C., so we get a lot more done collectively.
Yeah.
But in D.C. we also meet with the agency representatives, the leaders, sometimes the actual director of the BLM or the chief of the Forest Service who knows us on a first-name basis, things like that that are just critical to continue those relationships, those kind of discussions, and let them know we're always here. Because equestrian folks and the horse, you know, the pack and saddle folks, we can get lost in there's so many other competing, let's say, recreational groups and access groups,
right,
and other folks. There's very few that do what we do. In fact, at the national level, in terms of public lands, we are the only one, you know, representing the equine community on the national scale for, you know, public lands. So we have a unique role, and we work with our partners, including great partners like American Hiking Society, you know, and other trail-oriented groups that get it, that understand the value of backcountry horsemen and women and the volunteers that we have and how they're keeping trails open, like the Pacific Crest or Continental Divide National Scenic Trails or other places where people couldn't enjoy those kinds of, you know, hikes or backpacks without our volunteers and backcountry horsemen that are working the real backcountry wilderness trails and keeping them open, or hauling in equipment and gear for the youth corps groups that also do work alongside us and helping, you know, with the logistics and hauling in gear for, you know, other trail and ecological restoration projects. I mean, that's us. And so there's a critical role, but we have to keep being in Washington, got to be visible in Washington, D.C., to let keep reminding people that, because, you know, we're not getting any younger, and, you know, there's a lot of new and exciting trail use. You know, we talked about electric bicycles before and how they're taking public lands by storm. We've got to keep saying, don't forget about the horsemen and women. Don't forget about this important role. And don't forget our safety while we're on the trail, because, you know, some of these things are could be threatening to us as well. So that's the nutshell of my job, is working the policy and the partnerships and elevating the visibility of backcountry horsemen and women across the country and continuing to advocate for our mission and our needs.
Is there any legislation or any bills that we need to be aware of that are coming up that we might need to have any input?
Oh, yes. Thank you for asking. Well, we just talked about wilderness and the 60th anniversary of the Wilderness Act. There is currently a bill in the U.S. Senate, from a Utah senator that would allow bicycles in federal wilderness. Never happened before, and it would amend the Wilderness Act, which has not happened in 60 years, to allow what's called a mechanical, you know, use, mechanical mode of travel, which is what biking is. And as much as I support, mountain biking and know its benefits to so many people and to people's health and to local economies, there are just some landscapes that you shouldn't allow bikes in. You know, again, that 2.7% of the contiguous United States is wilderness. Do we need to have mechanical use everywhere on every inch of trail in the U.S.? I'd say no, and I've got lots of partners and of course, all of BCHA behind me saying no. Let's continue to make wilderness accessible only on foot, on horseback, canoe, or other ways, you know, that people access that and not allow, you know, more modern contrivances, or that's not the right word, but, you know, mechanized uses to be a primary form of travel in wilderness. So that's the bill before the Senate. We call it the Bikes in Wilderness Bill, and we're going to – it's not going to go anywhere this year, perhaps, but you never know. Congress can slip something in. But it'll be introduced again next year, and we'll have to go through this whole thing again and, you know, round up our partners and continue to push back, because – wilderness is sacrosanct for many of us, and making any changes, let alone one of that magnitude, and what it could mean in terms of conflicts on trails and safety issues for the equestrian, we just don't want to go there to have bikes in the wilderness.
Well, and unfortunately, they tack different bills on with other bills and sneak those things in too, don't they? Kind of get them passed that way.
Well, and we're going to see some of that, you know, that sausage making or you know, kind of things in the next couple of months. Hopefully this bill will not be part of that.
Yeah.
You know, but you can never say never with Congress, because they do some pretty wacky things.
You mean our politicians? Our politicians? Wacky.
Yeah,
can't
believe it or not. Believe it or not. But, you know, the beauty of it is a lot of these members of Congress recognize the volunteer efforts of Backcountry Horsemen of America. And, again, those 32 states, 12,000 members, we can make a dent. And we've done so when this Bikes in Wilderness Bill has been offered up by the same senator in the past. In Montana, there was a senator at the time who co-sponsored the bill. Our folks let him know very clearly, you know, that was not welcome in Montana. And lo and behold, that member of Congress pulled themselves off of the sponsorship of the bill.
Because it wasn't
backcountry. Yeah, so, you know, in some places, you know, we've got that kind of recognition or even clout, if you will, or respect. Really, it's a respect. And maybe they didn't know that we would be concerned about bikes in the wilderness, but once this member of Congress learned that, they did a 180 and said, we don't want to upset the backcountry horsemen. So, you know, that's not going to happen very often, but it does show that Congress can be flexible sometimes and members can
sometimes
support.
Yeah, sometimes they just don't realize what the impact is when these kind of bills get passed. You know, how it might affect horse people and I would think even hikers. You know, having to be out there dealing with that kind of a thing.
Certainly.
Randy, tell us a little bit about your website and how people that are listening around the world can get involved with Backcountry Horsemen of America.
Oh, you bet, Gary. Well, our website is very simple. The address is BCHA for Backcountry Horsemen of America, BCHA.org. And if you go to our website, right on the landing page, about halfway down, if you're in the United States and you want to know if there's a chapter near you, there's a chapter locator with hundreds of, over 200 pins of where our chapters are. And you'll see we're certainly in every Western state. We're a lot of the Midwest and the Southeast. You know, you can get a good picture of where we are geographically. Our headquarters is in, Columbia Falls, Montana. That's where we were founded 51 years ago. But we have members from all over the country and supporters, of course, from every state, even those that we don't have official chapters in. But you can navigate around that website. There's a public lands tab at the top. You know, what we do, I guess you can get just more information. You can just say about BCHA and you can go in and look at different aspects of what we do. There's a tally of our volunteer hours. There's, you know, what we do on the education side and our new, you know, Light on the Land program. It's you know, similar to Leave No Trace, which we helped form decades ago.
Yeah.
We helped create the equine component of Leave No Trace. We've taken that even further and have a new program called Light on the Land because to us that's important. The education side is important. We do not want, you know, users of horseback and mules that get a bad rap in the backcountry and being, you know, having people say, well, you guys destroyed that trail or that camp or something. We have to always find ways to minimize our footprint, you know, physically, you know, and literally, I guess. And then, so we want to lead the way, and that's what BCHA has done for decades is, and its founding is we have to demonstrate that you can go lightly on the land, you can make a minimal impact, because I don't think there's really no such thing as leave no trace per se. We all do, no matter what our mode of travel is, but we can do lots of things. So that's an educational aspect of BCHA critical to us. But again, the website has more things about public lands needs your help. You know, we've got member pages, you know, there's just tons of things there. How to volunteer, our importance, youth education and outreach to youth. We're doing more things to recruit the next generation of packers because the true packing skill is getting few and far between. And again, we're not getting any younger. So we are trying to find ways and even clinics, scholarships and ways to get youth in Montana, California, other places to come forward and learn the packing skills that are still being used, you know, by federal wilderness managers, be they Park Service, Forest Service, et cetera. You know, so there's a lot on the website. And I encourage folks to go to bcha.org. Learn more about us. Certainly always love to, there's a donate at the top button kind of thing. You know, just if people like our work but don't want to become a member, that's always an option too. But I really encourage folks who even have the slightest interest to join a chapter if they're in the U.S. here and just learn more and maybe end up going to some of our work parties because that's what we do best.
Well, that is great. BCHA.org. is the website. You can find out more information. Great website, and I think there are even a couple of our radio shows that might show up on that thing somewhere as well. So always great to have you with us, Randy, and we look forward to, you know, you guys have been with us for so long, and it's been such a pleasure to have Backcountry Horsemen of America with us the first Thursdays of every month. And so we look forward to having you with us for a long time to come, my friend. You're absolutely great.
Thanks, Gary. We're honored to be part of your program and always happy to do it. So thank you.
Well, look forward to next month. And Randy, thanks for being with us. We're going to close out this segment with a great song from Mr. Ryan Fritz called Jingle Up. And we'll be back with more in just a moment on Saddle Up America. Randy Rasmussen, thank you, my friend. And save some of that steak and shrimp for me, if you don't mind.
You bet, Terry.
All right, jingle up. We'll be right back.
Well, a saddle up old Ted's gonna jingle up. Yes, a saddle up old Ted's gonna jingle up. With a snort and a whistle, a big old blow, to the rocks in the dark we go. I hope them bronchs are closed to jingle up. Now I snubbed the commies, I rode at the jingle up. Yes, I smelled the commies and rode at the jingle up. That cookie makes it strong and black. I hope there's still enough. I'm gonna have me a big old cup once I jingle up. So jingle up, big Bermuda, jingle up, jingle, jingle, jingle up, jingle up, sweet Bermuda, jingle up. They stand like statues in the dark. I hope this mare's gonna do her part. Show me where they are and jingle up. Bridles and robes for me. The boys are waiting with their bridles and robes on me. Standing round the big old gate, I hope these colts don't make them wait. No one wants to be late, so jingle up. The sparks are flying, the leaders are trying me. Sparks are flying and the leaders are running me. I cuss and herd them through the haze. They take me around all over the place. This mare sure likes to chase and to jingle up. Jingle up, big Bermuda. Jingle up, jingle, jingle. Jingle up, jingle up, sweet Bermuda. Jingle up. The same thing happens every day. By the crack of dawn, 5 miles away, I wish they'd learn to hang and jingle up. Well, jingle up, big Bermuda. Jingle up, jingle, jingle. Jingle up, well, jingle up, wild Bermuda. Jingle up. Well, the same thing happens every day. By the crack of dawn, 5 miles away, I wish they'd learn to hang and jingle up. Why is it always my turn to jingle up?
Ryan Fritz, jingle up. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, heard around the world on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio. We'll be back in just a moment. Take a listen to this song by Mr. Dale Shields. It's called The Best of America.
There's a whole lot being said about this old country in which we live, but the way I see it, she still has a whole lot to give. She's a land full of beauty, full of dreams,
for you and me. The land of our heroes who kept our liberty. There's a banner flying over, made of colors that don't run. To see her raised each morning with the rising of the sun. Here her people stand together as one nation under God. We'll fight for right with all our might to protect her fertile sod. So don't tell me that she's broken, I'll have to prove you wrong. She's made up of the people, standing proud and strong. I've seen the best of America cross the prairies to her sea. Rode the trails upon the mountaintops, touched the swamps, the live oak trees. I've seen the bright lights of her cities, felt the meadows' gentle breeze. And the best of America is her people standing free.
America is her people, and they're shaped by years of history, and I'm proud to call this place my home, and her people family. Now she may fall on hard times, that's just a natural part of life, but if in God we trust and we don't give up, he'll see us through the strife.
I've seen the best of America cross the prairies to her sea. Rode the trails upon her mountaintops, touched her swamps, her live oak trees. I've seen the bright lights of her city, felt the meadows' gentle breeze. And the best of America is her people standing free. Yes, the best of America is her people standing free.
This is Gary Holt inviting you to find our great sponsors on our website at EquestrianLegacy.net. Those are the sponsors you'll find in the general store, our Legacy Select, Horse Campgrounds and Guest Ranches, east of Santa Fe, and our Legacy Select, Equestrian Properties. You'll find all of these sponsors on our website at EquestrianLegacy.net. Well, it has been another great show today on the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America. We hope you've enjoyed it. It's always great to visit with our good friend, Miss Sarah Pierce, and share her great music from the album Blessed by the West. And then always good to catch up with Randy Rasmussen with Backcountry Horsemen of America. We want to remind you to tune in every Tuesday for Live from Nashville. And then on Thursdays, it's the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America. All of our shows are heard on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and most streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio. Well, we're going to close out the show today with a great song from Miss Trinity Seeley. As I was watching the leaves start to fall and some of the colors changing, getting out in the morning early, it feels like a little touch of fall is in the air, and I thought this song was so appropriate. This is one called Come On Fall. We'll see you next week on the Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America. Thanks for listening.
Yucca plant and the prickly pear, fall hanging in the air, leaves me wishing for the warm summer sun. Who am I to complain? The cowboy life is the bed I've made, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So come on, fall. Waiting here like